Well, good evening, everybody. You know, it seems like this year, 2020, nothing goes the way you planned. 20 seconds before this meeting started, the other mic we were going to use kind of fell apart. So, you know, God is good. You know, that we planned this meeting months ago. We thought with everything going on with COVID, it'd be good for the church to get together and have a night where right close to Christmas, we worship the Lord. We sing these songs, not just from, you know, memory from mold that we do every year, but because we're really in love with Jesus. But then we have a really big project going on in our sanctuary, so that made us go remote. But you know, the one thing I just want to encourage us tonight, the title of my message is, you know, it's a remarkable season. And I'm reminded of the verses in Luke, the second chapter, when the angels are talking to the shepherds. And in verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." There has been a lot of missing peace this year. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and there's been things that, quite honestly, I don't know if anybody's plans that they made for the year went according to plan. But the thing that this has brought to my mind this year is how much I need Jesus, how much I need God in my life. And in this season, you know, I'm reminded of how some of the things that we celebrate and how they had their beginnings, like back in the 1500s, Martin Luther was the first one to put candles on a Christmas tree to signify that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And probably if you drive down your neighborhood tonight, you're going to see lights everywhere. Now, those lights are a great celebration, but when we look at those lights, we have to remember that reminds me that God spoke to the darkness and he gave his son so that we will no longer be in darkness. We look where many of us, you get gifts. That tradition obviously comes as symbolic of God's gift to man, his son, Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times this time of year, you hear a term that I'm not crazy about, Christmas magic. See, I don't believe in Christmas magic. I like the word Christmas miracle. Because God, you know, we think of this time of year that God sent man. We just sang, "O come Emmanuel," which means, you know, God with us. You know, God came down for you and for me. You know, and as the angels say, on earth, peace on whom God's favor rests, regardless of where I am at in my life, where you are at, you have the promise of peace. And the thing I love about Jesus, we'll look at again in a second, but Jesus came for broken people. Jesus didn't come for those that thought they had their act together. What a great reminder Christmas is, what God did for us. I love Isaiah chapter 9, the second verse. "The people walking in darkness has seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Maybe you're listening tonight and you feel like you're a million miles away from God. Maybe your life is a mess. Maybe the fact of the matter is, let's be honest, maybe you've made a mess of your life. I'm here to tell you that's okay. You see, Jesus came for messed up people. Evidence me. Jesus came for broken people. And a lot of times the enemy will lie to us and say, "You're too far gone. You've done this, you've done that." And God says, "Only thing you have to do is turn to me." You see, God says, I have come into the darkness, and I shine my light. I shine my light so that people can have eternity. The first point I'm making is let earth receive her king. Going to the second chapter of Luke again, verse 11, the angels say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Another version says he is Messiah, the Lord. Jesus is God's chosen one. Jesus is the one that God sent so that man could have the possibility of redemption and reconciliation, the promise of eternal life in heaven. God reached down to a dark people to bring us to the light. You know, the thing I love about Jesus, if you look at who he ministered to, when the leper came to him, and the leper was breaking the Old Testament law because you weren't supposed to be near people that did not have leprosy. You were supposed to announce your presence by shouting out unclean. But he came to Jesus, a broken man, and Jesus heals him. This man whose body was literally decaying before his eyes, Jesus hugged on him, he loved him, and he forgave him, and he healed him. We see that Jesus dealt with prostitutes, people that we look at maybe in the world today and we look down upon, that we think of them as being under us, being second class or whatever. But Jesus came for those people to love them, to show them there is no sin that separates you from God if you embrace Jesus Christ. I love the story of the Samaritan woman. I think that is so apropos in the country today, because we see so much racial discord in our country where, you know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They wouldn't go through Samaria. They would walk days around it. But Jesus went right to the well to minister to that woman that had had five husbands and now was living with somebody. And not only did he reach out to her, and a man reaching out to a woman was not the most appropriate thing back then, but he reached out to a broken life to let them know, God loves you and I'm here for you. We look at Matthew, who is a tax collector. Tax collectors were thieves. If they were told, for example, you collect $1,000, they would collect two and pocket the rest. You look at the thief on the cross who deserved to be there and Jesus didn't. That day, Jesus says, when the guy turned to Jesus, he said, hey, today you will be with me in paradise. So I don't know where your life is today. Maybe your faith has taken a hit. Maybe you don't have the zealousness you had for Jesus. Or maybe you've never made that commitment. Maybe you're looking at your life and saying, man, how did I end up here? Well, you're in the right place. Because you see, my Jesus came for broken people. The thing I love is Jesus reached people that were at the end of themselves. If you look throughout the New Testament, he really had a hard time with the Pharisees. Jesus had a hard time with religious people that thought they were all that because of their actions. People that the law, what they did, mattered more than their heart towards God. See, people had a tough time with Jesus because they thought the Messiah was going to be some hulking, strong, phenomenal man who was going to come and just take out Rome. The Old Testament, Isaiah says, Jesus really wasn't anything much to look at. He wasn't a Brad Pitt. He wasn't a George Clooney. If he walked down the street, you wouldn't notice him. Why? Because God made it so that you would look at the heart of Christ rather than be allured by his physical presence. Tonight, I'm encouraging you that God opened heaven to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The second point I want to make is there's no more waiting. You know, it's hard to be patient. I remember when I was a kid, I had two brothers. We all shared a bedroom. We're really young, and you know, on Christmas Eve, I don't think we slept at all. We just stayed in the room talking, waiting to get up and being able to open presents. It's so hard to wait, and I love looking at Luke 25 through 32, and I use this example every year because I think when we look at the section of the scriptures that tell us about the birth of Jesus, this man just sticks out to me and touches my heart every year. And it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, If you're listening on the computer, etc., I'd ask you to close your eyes right now. I'm not closing. Those of you in the room, I'd ask you to close your eyes. Have you seen the salvation of God? You see, to me, Jesus was one of the most unreligious people ever. He was all about relationship. So you have Simeon, this man who just waited, and God said, you will see the Messiah. So he looks at this little baby, and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation, God. You can open your eyes, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people in Israel. If you go on and talk about Anna, you know, I just love reading these two people that God had spoke to them that you're going to see the Messiah. And they came to the temple and they waited because they knew no matter what, no matter how long they waited, that God was going to be faithful because he told them they would see the Messiah. And I love the fact that this old man can look at this little baby, a day, few days old, and say, God, I have seen the Messiah. He goes on to, he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. The wait is over. The wait for life is over. There's so many people, they seek peace today. They seek joy and happiness. But Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What the Christmas message is all about is, Jesus Christ came to pay for your sins and for my sins. The fact of the matter is somebody has to pay for them, and Jesus came and did it. It's not an automatic. I remember a few years back having lunch with a friend, and you know he had a belief that Jesus died for sins so everybody goes to heaven, but that's not scriptural. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, Book of John, you got to be born again. You got to ask God for your commitment to forgiveness and make a commitment to him. The last point I want to make is from the cradle to the cross. You know, we like manger scenes. We like to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. The Christmas message is incomplete without talking about the cross. Lately, I was looking at pictures from our family when my daughters were young. And there's a picture, we just had her home for a couple hours, and I'm laying on the couch, and she's just fast asleep, laying on my belly. And I remember that first night, but the way our bedroom was set up, because it was small, we had a little basket that fit on my side of the bed. So I remember at night, you know, we went to sleep, and I'm just looking at this little baby. And I'm just in awe. I'm loving the fact that I got a daughter. She would no longer fit in a basket by the side of my bed. She is now an adult. We don't worship the baby Jesus Christ. We worship the Messiah who grew, who did miracles to point people to God, who became sin. A man with no sin became sin because, as the Bible says, the wages or the penalty of sin is death. That we celebrate Christmas because Jesus took the sin of man on him and he paid that penalty. He paid that penalty of death. The baby grew to be a man that paid the ultimate for you and for me. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus is a gift for everybody. Now, in a couple days, you're going to get some gifts. You're going to go down in the morning or whenever. Big old gift is going to be wrapped under your tree. How foolish would you be to just say, you know, I really like this wrapping paper. This is a really cool ribbon. I'm just going to leave this gift under the tree. So you just leave it there. Maybe later on in January, you take your tree down and you just leave that gift there And you just come back year after year after year, and that gift is just wrapped right there. Man, it looks so good. Then your life is over, and you never enjoyed that gift. See, that's Jesus. God is saying tonight that his son went from the cradle, from the manger to the grave, to the cross, to then the grave. It's time to unwrap that present. It's time to say, you know what, God, I am a sinner. Can you earn your way into heaven by your actions? Of course not. Everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. But I love Isaiah, the people walking in darkness to see those are the people with sin. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So I want you to close your eyes. And one of the challenges, I believe, of a Christmas message is, A, you know what I'm going to speak on, and B, if you're a believer, you have heard this for years. But I want to say, as I firmly believe, this message is for everybody. Maybe you've never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close in prayer in about 1 minute, and I'm going to ask you to make that commitment. I'm going to ask you to say, Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my life. And then God looks down as a new creation. The darkness is gone. The light of Christ is now in your life. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. One thing God is doing through the COVID season is he's knocking on our doors and he's saying, I want you to come nearer. I want you to come closer. I want you to let go of the reins of your life, and I want you to trust me. Because I tell you right now, God is touching everybody's life, and he is testing us to see how much control we are willing to give over to him and how much faith we really have in him. So, Lord, we can come before you right now, God. And we love the verse that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him, shall trust him, will not perish, but have eternal life. And Father, I pray that this Christmas season, I know, Lord, is not just a time of the year where all of a sudden it gets to be in December the 20th and the problems of the world just fade away. The pain, the hardships, the struggles are still evident and they're still real. But you give us a peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding. You give us a peace because when we accept you, we have the connection with God that we were created to have. And without you, that circuit is incomplete. It's a closed circuit. But when we say yes to Jesus, you take us in your arms. Just as you took that broken leper who was isolated, lonely, by himself, you healed him and you showed him the love of God. Father, let us embrace that tonight. Lord, I know a lot of us, our lives seem broken. Sometimes we have messes, but you came for the down and out, Lord, for those people that know they need you, Lord. Those who were self-sufficient and thought they didn't need you, they missed the mark. Let us never miss that, Lord, but let us embrace you. And we thank you for your gift this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close in one more song, and then Bill will close us in prayer. Blessings and Merry Christmas.